listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
If there's one thing that's true about relationships, it's that we're going to have hurts from that relationship. No matter how good the relationship, no matter how good you are, and no matter how good the other person is, there's no way to go through a relationship without having some bumps and bruises along the way. It's just the nature of being that close. And if you're super close, like in a marriage where you have pledged to be together no matter what happens around you, I guarantee that there will be hurts along the way. There'll be decisions that have to be made that both people can't agree upon. There'll be decisions that are made by one person that affects the other person. There will be actions and words that are taken or said by somebody that's going to hurt the other person. It's just a guarantee of life. And in fact, one of the illusions, one of the false beliefs about marriage is that if it's the right person and the right relationship, there shouldn't be hurts and pains. Well, human nature is that relationships are going to contain those places where we bump into each other. It's just kind of the nature of walking together. I often think about the fact that there have been times when I've been taking a pleasant walk with my wife when I accidentally bump into her. I accidentally, hit her. And I think about the times in my life where I've accidentally hurt her. You know, I put my arm over her shoulder and accidentally hit her in the face. And what I realize is we do that emotionally every day. Or at least often. We say the wrong thing and we infer the wrong thing, or we phrase it the wrong way, or our spouse phrases it the wrong way or infers the wrong thing or assumes the wrong thing, and then there's hurt. Over time, that residual hurt can begin to fester in a relationship. In fact, hurt is the true relation, or it's the true emotion behind anger. Many times, by the time I see a couple, they are very angry with each other. In fact, they're so angry it's become resentment towards each other. And what they have failed to realize is the heart of that is really hurt. Whenever we're hurt, we tend to express it as anger, which is too bad because when it comes out as anger, it's usually met with anger. If somebody expresses anger towards you, you likely respond in anger. If that anger is not somehow released, if that anger is somehow not addressed, it becomes kind of a systemic infection called resentment. Resentment is simply undealt with anger. It's the anger that's allowed to accumulate. It's the anger that's allowed to become not just that anger about that thing, but a systemic anger, a systemic hurt. So sometimes when people can track back to their hurt, they can finally begin to move forward. The question is how you do that. And I believe that there are two pieces to that puzzle. There's apology and forgive. Now, let me just be very clear that those aren't necessarily linked together. I didn't say somebody apologizes and then you forgive. I said there's apology and there's forgive. I believe that those do not necessarily have to be linked. In fact, you can apologize and the other person not forgive you, and you can forgive even if the other person doesn't apologize. So today in our podcast, in our time together, I want to talk a bit about how you might go about that a little bit. I want you to think about these two different pieces. So first, I want to talk about this process of an apology. I believe that apologies are a potent way of restarting the system. In fact, over the years, I've kind of developed a process to help people move towards an apology that works. And the reason that I developed it is because I realize that many people aren't clear about how to apologize. One of the mistakes people make when they give an apology is they often try to explain why they did what they did. And what I long ago realized is that the difference between an explanation and an excuse is whether you're saying it or whether you're hearing it. You're giving it as an explanation, but it's only heard as an excuse. And so one of the problems that happens when people try to apologize is they want to explain away why they did what they did. Sometimes we even make that apology. You might have heard it yourself. Well, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. Not I'm sorry about what I did that hurt your feelings, but I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry if you took it that way. That's a non-apology. Politicians are experts at it, and unfortunately, most of us share their capacity of sidestepping taking responsibility, because at the heart of it, that is the basis of an apology, to be able to say, I take responsibility. In fact, I think there are three pieces about what an apology does for you. One, it takes responsibility. Two, it shows regret. And three, it shows a reset. Responsibility, regret, reset. Those are the necessary elements of any apology. The first is responsibility, to be able to say, you know what? I made a bad call there. I acted in ways I should not have. I moved in a way that I could have done differently. I should have done differently. And I take responsibility for that. A lot of times, we like to shuffle off that responsibility and say, well, you know, I acted that way because I was reacting to what you did. In fact, one of the very clear things I have noticed recently is that many spousal and relationship issues are a race to victimhood. It's two people competing to see who can be the biggest victim. That's the heart of an argument. Well, there are two parts to an argument. One part of an argument are two different people with two different opinions trying to convince the other person to see it your way. But there's a more potent level of that that is important. It's about two people racing to be the bigger victim. Because every time we're in an argument, it's based on you feeling like you're the victim. Think about that just for a minute. You never get into an argument over being the victor, right? You never even get into an argument about having been equal. But when we see ourselves as the victim, as the bigger victim, then we think we have a place to argue from. So many couples have a race to demonstrate their side and get the other person to accept it, and at the same time to prove that they are the bigger victim here. So what happens in that process is that we lose track of being responsible for our actions. We talk about being reactive to the other person. The other person started this. You know, it's their fault that we're in this situation. And we get so wrapped up in pointing the finger the other way that we forget to notice that we always have a choice in how we respond. We always have a choice in how we act towards somebody else, how we speak to somebody else. And so an apology is always rooted first in taking responsibility. You know what? I said that and I shouldn't have. I acted that way and I shouldn't have. I apologize. Over the years, I've had lots of times to talk with people about their apology letters. I consider it to be one of the foundational and fundamental bricks of saving a marriage. It's the starting point where you're building for a new place. You're building a new possibility. And so you put that brick down. And so many times I'll read somebody and they'll say, you know, I regret that I did this. I shouldn't have done this. But they forget to say, I apologize. I'm sorry I did that. One of the core pieces of any apology is to be able to say, I am sorry I did that. I apologize for doing that. Regret is a piece of it, right? And that's the next piece of an apology, to be able to say you regret the actions that you took. You regret the feelings that happened for the other person. You regret the outcome. So that's a necessary piece after saying, I am responsible for this. So apologies are rooted in saying, I'm responsible for that action and I regret having taken it. I apologize. And then there's a third piece. And this isn't always spoken. It's lived out. And that's the reset. Reset is about how we intend on changing after that. So many times I talk with people who say, you know what? I don't even know what to do. I've said to my wife over and over, I'm going to change, I'm going to change, I'm going to change, and I don't. Or I've said to my husband over and over and over, I'm going to change, I'm going to change, and I'm going to change, and I don't. So what's going to be different here? And my response is, you change, right? You make a real change. Not faking it for a few months or a few weeks until the other person's, you know, not noticing, until the spouse is no longer noticing, but really making a true change. Going for actual, real change. When we go for actual, real change, then something can be different in the process. So part of an apology has to include a reset. If you go back to doing what you were doing before, you aren't really apologizing. You're just trying to get the other person to let go of the hurt and the pain. Real change happens because we recognize that we need to be responsible for something. We feel regret over that. And so therefore, we decide to do things differently. Whenever an apology doesn't include a change, it hasn't been a real apology. So whenever you decide that it's time to apologize, remember that a piece of that puzzle has to be reset. An apology has to be about responsibility, about regret, and has to be about reset, how you're going to change. So now let's switch over to forgiving. The interesting thing about forgiving is it's not necessarily tied to an apology. It's unilateral, or it can be unilateral. It's great when you say, "I'm sorry," and the other person says, "I forgive you." Or when somebody apologizes to you and you forgive them. That's a great piece, but it doesn't always have to be that way. In fact, it doesn't even have to be that way at all. You can always say, "I make a unilateral choice to forgive this person." While I'm saying that, let me be very clear. I am not suggesting that you walk up to your spouse or a significant other person in your life and say, "Hey, I just want to let you know I forgive you," if they have not asked for forgiveness. This is a very important thing. I've had many people who are working on saving their marriage who decide that they're going to forgive their spouse, and so they announce that to their spouse. If the other person has not offered an apology, don't let them know that you're forgiving them. Just do it. The reason is because they haven't seen where they're responsible. And so you're basically saying, "Hey, you know that thing you did that you don't accept the responsibility for? I forgive you for that." It always feels to the other person like you're now blaming. That there's a creative way that we can blame when we point to the other person and say, "Oh, I forgive you for that. Just want to let you know." So recognize that there is no need and no benefit to announcing that you're forgiving the other person if they haven't asked for forgiveness. If an apology is offered, absolutely ask for it, but don't let the hurt ever hold you back from apologizing or forgiving. One of the problems with forgiving is that we have a bad concept about it. We have come to believe in our culture that forgiving somebody lets them off the hook. It somehow is about the other person. People have grown up in religious traditions that have taught that you have to forgive. It's a mandate rather than you get to give. It's an opportunity. The problem is when we don't forgive, we hang on. We hang on to the hurts. We hang on to the things that have caused us pain. And when we hang on to them, we anchor ourselves to that place. You probably know people, and you might even be able to identify for yourself, people who are anchored to some event in the past so tightly because they can't let it go. And so they're anchored to that past, and everything is a reference point to that. Every time you get into an argument, it goes back to that point. Every time there's a struggle, it goes back to that point. Every time anything goes bad poorly, you go back to that point and reference that as the beginning place. It's the anchor for how bad things are. It's not the place to move from. It's the place to be frozen to be anchored to. And sometimes we have to choose to release that anchor, to let it go, to decide that we're being harmed by not letting it go. Over the years, I've had many conversations with people who are still hurt about something that happened in the past and choose not to forgive, thinking that they are somehow holding the other person responsible for it. And yet that other person probably doesn't even know about the pain and has gone on their life, no longer anchored to that event, while the person who feels hurt stays anchored to it. The truth about forgiveness is it always frees the person who chooses to forgive. It releases that person. It may have a benefit to the other person that you're allowing the possibility of reconnecting, but it always releases you. Sometimes it allows for reconnection, but it doesn't have to. So if you think about forgiveness as your choice to release the hurt from the past, then you recognize that forgiveness is unilateral. It doesn't have to be based on what happened It doesn't have to be based on an apology. It gets to be based on your choice of saying, I no longer want to be held captive. I no longer want to be held hostage to something that happened back there. And this is regardless of your spouse's choices or actions. So you get to free yourself up. It may not be that you offer reconnection with somebody, but you can always choose forgiveness. I have a core belief that helps me remember that when something happens to me, when somebody hurts me in some way, I remind myself of one core key piece. We all do the best we can where we are, including you, including your spouse, including everyone else in your life. Now, let me be very clear. I'm not saying that people are always working and operating from an optimal place, because we're not in an optimal place ever. We're always struggling to understand things around us and deal with our emotions and deal with our own hurts and pains and our history and our patterns. So we're all doing the best we can as we bumble through life and bump into other people and cause hurts and pains. And because of that, we can begin to offer forgiveness, to recognize that the actions from other people come from their own hurt places, their own broken places. And we can choose to release that so that we are not held hostage by it. To recognize that we can see people through empathetic eyes and through see ourselves through those same empathetic eyes, to recognize that sometimes we also have to forgive ourselves for not having been at a better place. How many times do you look back in your past and say, man, I feel so bad about how I acted back there, but you realize that part of the reason you can now feel bad about it is because you now have a different view of it. You're at a different place. You found a different understanding and can move from a different place. So recognize the same for other people, that you can offer forgiveness, knowing that they did the best they could where they were, that the pain they caused was likely out of their own place of pain. And that when we choose that, we can get to a new place that allows us more freedom. To think about that, those two pieces can allow you so much freedom. When you apologize, sometimes that frees you up, that you've taken responsibility. In addictions world, they talk about making amends where you can. That's to reach out to people that you know have been hurt in the past and either take action or apologize when you can't take any action, to say, you know what, I'm responsible for where I was back then and I choose to do better now, and I choose to apologize and take my responsibility for that and make amends where I can. Because that frees them up from that past. It allows the other person to move forward too, but it frees them up. The person who apologizes finds some freedom. The person who forgives finds more freedom. In the process of apologizing and in forgiving, we find our path to a richer life, a fuller life, because we're not held captive by the bad events in the past, by the bad actions, the words, the hurts from the past. So then we can kind of boldly step into the future and not be always waiting for the hurt. As part of this, I've been working on a forgive process for a number of years. I use it over and over, and we have an upcoming book. It'll be almost a year before it's out, but I've already talked about that some in a podcast on the Thriveology podcast. If you're not familiar, there is a link to that podcast in the show notes below. So you can link to that and find out how you can follow that forgive process. I also encourage people who are working on their marriage to do an apology letter. And if you need help with putting that together, I do have a special high-end training that's available in my VIP program. The reason it's there is because it's a little more interactive. I also help people to think about their apology letter. If that's of interest to you and you don't have the Save the Marriage system, I'll tell you, the easiest thing to do is, as you're going through the process of buying the Save the Marriage system at savethemarriage.com, when I offer you a free week of the virtual coaching, grab it. The training is there. If you already have the system, that free week is only available as you're purchasing the system. It's made available that one time, but you can still join. If you're still interested, let me know that you need help with that apology letter, and I'll give you the link to get you into that program so you can understand not just that, but the other tools on how to reconnect with a spouse. This is an important time of year. We're looking at a fresh start. We're in the new year as a new opportunity for growing, and it's a great time to be thinking about how do you apologize and how do you forgive? My challenge for you is to find the places where you need to apologize and apologize, and find the places where you need to release and forgive. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.